No, I'm not real religious about it. Just something I just don't do. Maybe because I grew up with too much alcohol in my family. But one time I was at the Baker's. I don't know how many years ago now it was. What, 15 years ago?
20.
20 years ago. So we went to an Hawaiian luau party. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
At their house. Church people were there. And I had no clue that many of my church people drank anything. I thought they were all righteous. So they had this machine out there. It's a pina colada, wasn't it, machine? And I assumed that they were virgin pina coladas. And, you know, I'm like a good sugary drink as much as anybody, so I just started downing these things. This tastes good, you know. After a while, I realized that I was having trouble walking, and I finally figured out it wasn't a heart condition, but it was something in that pina colada machine that was doing that to me. So since then, I think they got saved, and it's safe to go. It's safe to go to their house now and drink from the pina colada machine. Amen. You have to understand, being a former Baptist pastor, I'm still overcoming a lot of prejudices and a lot of hang-ups. I didn't know you could dance in church. Speaking of dancing, a little story. Back in 1960, back in 1963, I was a member of a rock and roll band called the Four Speeds, 63 and 64. I had a bass guitar, that's what I played, and we had a saxophone and a lead guitar and drummer out of Muleshoe, Texas. Our claim to fame was that we were friends and knew the number one band in America at the time was Jimmy Gilmer and the Fireballs, who lived only 20 miles away from us in Farwell, Texas, and they came out with the hit Sugar Shack and also Bottle of Wine. Actually became number one hit with Sugar Shack. They were several years older than us, but we used to jam with them and practice with them some, and they were a real inspiration to us. And so we were good enough that we got booked into some local venues. Our biggest claim to fame is one time we got to play Lubbock, Texas. But we played Clovis, New Mexico, and Littlefield, and a little town called Sudan called us up to play at their Legion Hall, which the Legionnaires meet in a public gathering place. And so we went to play a teenage dance with our band, and we were setting up in the Legion Hall and getting sound check, and the sheriff walks in and told us, guys, you can't play here. You have to disband and go home, because in the city of Sudan, there's a law that you can't have a public dance. And if you've ever seen that or heard of that movie Footloose, we were actually the original Footloose, where we got kicked out of town. We couldn't dance. We couldn't have the dance. Well, some of the young people in the town got riled up by that, became activists, and got their parents on board, and they soon repealed that law within a few months, and we were invited back to play, and we got to play the first dance ever in Sudan, Texas. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Anyway, fortunately, the Lord has taken out of that rock and roll demonizing stuff out of my spirit now. I have such a pure heart for the Lord when it comes to worship. Amen. Okay. Lord, we loose the word this morning that you bless us and increase us. Amen. Last week, some accused me of What did I do? Stomp out subjectivity? I literally had a stomping episode at the end of the message. I stomped around like this, and I was stomping out subjectivity. And I still don't believe that I actually did that. So thank God today you came back if you were here last week. This week, the subject matter is a little more benign, and hopefully there won't be quite as much stomping going on. Because I want to talk about an incredible principle that God has been speaking to our hearts now for several months, even several years. The creation of connection of oneness that God is bringing the body of Christ into in this hour. And you can open your Bible to the book of John chapter 5. And I'm going to get there in a few minutes to that scripture, but there's really a principle of love that God's teaching us and revealing to us in this hour about how love works. But most importantly, about what love creates. There's a purpose in the love of God. There's a purpose in how we love one another. You know that commandment in the Bible, it's an Old Testament commandment, but it comes out of the Shemar prayer that the children of Israel had that said, "Hear, O God, that Israel is one." God's always promoted himself as one. One God. There's one God. Of course, we know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are part of the triune of God, but yet there's still just a oneness in God's heart. No matter how many ways God manifests himself, he always manifests himself with the same spirit and the same heart, the same mind. It's just like the body of Christ. We have many different members of the body. Each one of you is an individual member. Each one of you has an individual function, but you all manifest from the same spirit. You all manifest from the same mind. Because your origin of your manifestation, the origin of what you are, is all comes from him. Everything comes from one source, from the Lord. Amen? So the prayer in Israel is, there is only one God. There's only one people. And this is such a contradiction to what we see in Christianity today, because in Christianity, we're known more by our division than we are by our unity. We're known more by how we separate from one another than how we join in to be one with each other. But those days are ending because the Lord's bringing down the walls of division. The first wall that he brought down was the division that was in your own heart. He did that through what? The cross. What did the cross do? Broke down the walls of division. So when we go through the cross, it's more than saying that we're dying. It's actually saying we've become alive to something. It's not a matter of approaching it from what am I losing out of this, but what am I receiving from it? Because what the cross gives us is everything that we need to be everything God called us to be. So the cross breaks down the walls of division between God and man. Isn't that beautiful, the principle of reconciliation? How that all of a sudden this wall of division was destroyed, and now that which has been separated can be one, can be joined together. And so the love of God creates. See, it was the motivation of God that creates the ability to be one with God. When we look at the Lord, we see the motivation of God is pure love. Unfortunately, we've so tainted God with concepts that man has kept perpetuating for generations and centuries, that it's been difficult for us to understand the simplicity of this message that God is love. Because somehow we construct around that all these other things that make this love that God gives conditional to us. And it's difficult for the human mind to recognize and understand that God's love is unconditional. It's what children have a hard time sometimes with their parents, thinking, well, my parents, they're a little bit hard on me, so they must not love me. No, that has nothing to do with whether they love you or not, because a true parent has an unconditional love for their children. They might not always be pleased with what their children do. They might not be happy with some of the things the children try to accomplish. But if they're a true parent, they have an unconditional love. Because unconditional love becomes the source, the bond of unity that's created between any two members. whether it be a parent and a child, a husband and wife. So the purpose of marriage is not just to bring people together in flesh. Granted, that's a nice benefit. But the true purpose of marriage is to create one person. Because two people become one spirit together. And the true purpose of the church, we the body of Christ, is to also become one spirit with the Father. And one spirit with one another. Because the commandment was this: you're to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, your mind, your strength, and you're to love one another as yourself. So that principle that love comes to us, but it's only becomes valid when it becomes an expression through us. Because love that's just received, that's not given, is not a true expression of what love is. It's like forgiveness. It's wonderful to be forgiven, isn't it? But how powerful it becomes when forgiveness can be expressed.
Yes.
Because then that's where the validity of who you, what you've received, becomes real to you. If you've been forgiven, then forgive. And the more you forgive, the more you'll be forgiven. It's amazing how God multiplies that. The more you love, the more you'll be loved. Because what you're sowing is not a thing of the flesh, but you're sowing into the spirit. You're pushing something into the spirit realm that will have results that are spiritual, not fleshly. Was that a sound from heaven?
Yeah.
Pretty much. See, the enemy, if we could classify the great battle that we have, whether it be called the enemy Satan or the enemy of the mind, is to shut off the awareness of God's love to your life. Because when the awareness of God's love is shut off to you, at least in your perception, then that's where rejection begins to breed in you. That's when condemnation begins to breed in you. And isolationism. When you begin to feel isolated from God or from your brother, that's where all manner of things begin to manifest out of you that aren't profitable for God. It's in your accepting, being willing to be accepted by God and by one another, that your identity is validated to you. But the isolationism devalues who you really are. And you begin to think of yourself not more highly than you ought to, but you begin to think of yourself much less than what you should think. Because it's in the love of God that's received that there's the capability then for you to love yourself. And when you can love yourself, you know what I mean, not in an egotistical, prideful way, but when you can accept yourself and who you are and be satisfied with what God created. God didn't create any junk when he created you. He didn't create some mistake when he created you. He didn't create some reclamation project that would take a lifetime to work on to make you something fairly good. He created you in his image. And when you were born again, his image now can be expressed through you by his spirit. Because now there's a connection between you and the Lord. You're one with him in spirit. And it's our spirit, soul, and body. It's the divine order of the kingdom. The spirit, the soul, and the body. The spirit man rules and brings the mind and the body into obedience to what the Spirit says. That's why those that walk by the Spirit, these are those that are the sons of God. Wow. So Christ was filled with the fullness of God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
All the fullness, all the virtue, all the love, all the greatness, all the goodness of God was in Christ. He's Emmanuel, God with us. So when you look at Jesus, you say, there's God is with us. Wow. My heart is to have a relationship to the one who has God with him. Amen? I'm just getting started. Wow. John 5:20, it says, for the Father, let's look in verse 19, it adds a little more to it. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son. Everybody say it. The Father loves the Son. Say it again. The Father loves the Son. Wow. And he shows him all things that he does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to who he will. See, Jesus became the mirror. He was a mirror reflection of the Father to the earth. When you saw Jesus, it was like looking in a mirror and seeing the Father. Jesus looks at the Father. Jesus looks at you. You see the Father, right? So we behold him as in a mirror. He said, not only do I have this relationship to the Father, but you also have it. You can behold him as well. You can look and see who he is. But most importantly, you're not just seeing who he is, you're becoming who he is. Because in the spirit realm, there's no restraint or restriction of what happens. There's an unfettered ability to become and to be like the one that you're in relationship to. He allowed himself. He became this vessel upon the earth, this man in flesh named Jesus, who was born as God, yet he refused to let, just because he was born of God, become the model. He said, I'm going to be like a man to be the model. And so here I am as a man opening myself to the Father that loves me. If we just open ourselves to the Father who loves us, then he will reveal to us. He'll open up this whole panoramic view of what the kingdom is all about. And what is the kingdom all about? Relationships with him and with one another. That's how difficult. Well, the kingdom is so profound, we'll never obtain the knowledge of it. It's challenging to think about how vast it is, but the simplicity of it is, it's simply the relationship of God to man and God through man to other men. It's a relationship. Amen. Isn't that great? Everybody say it's great. That it's a relationship. He came to the earth in the flesh and he allowed himself to be filled with the love of the Father. And so thus he was able to mirror the love of the Father back. He literally established a connection. and broke the impasse to bring to all of us the reality of what a relationship with God is really like. The void of the trappings of religion and the doctrines of men, but the simplicity of what it's like to really love someone else. If you just quit worrying about anything but that, everything will be all right in your life. That's a pretty simplistic statement, isn't it? If you just quit worrying about every other issue and just start thinking about what it's like to be one, how awesome it is to enjoy the joining of spirit. And then when you begin to see that that's the issue, then all the issues are non-issues that have created the division that you've had with others. Paul said that I just want to know him. I just want to know the Lord. He said, I count everything as dung. I count everything as a refuge pile. Just to know the Lord. Here I am, this great intellectual Jewish man. Great, great man Paul was, even without the Spirit. Yet that meant nothing to him unless he knew the source of life. He said, so I've determined to know nothing among you anymore except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, I want to know this Jesus that removed the barrier that's kept me separated from my Father. That's the Jesus I want to have a relationship with. This Jesus that through his blood my sin was taken away, forgiven and cast into the sea of forgetfulness. This Jesus who opened the door to where now I can say, Abba, Father. Yeah, amen. Amen. Everybody say, we like it. We love it. And we definitely want some more of it. See, love triggers that relationship. When you express love, you begin to grow, not only grow, but you create the foundation of what relationships be. You don't just decide to relate to someone. You don't just get up every morning and say, well, this today I'm going to dive into so-and-so's heart and really get to know them. Well, guess what? Most people that you try to do that to, they'll throw you out. Because they don't really want you to get to know them on that level. I'm just going to go and I'm just going to invade this person's space. And I'm going to press into them until they finally open themselves up to me. That doesn't work because you're trying to create relationships through human endeavor. Oh, if I could just have enough coffee, and coffee's good, or if I could just have enough meals, or if I could just have enough get-togethers, then I'm going to be one with people. That won't create oneness. It might be a product of oneness. See, it takes love, the God kind of love, to establish a relationship, because it's only through love can you cover the sin that's revealed through the connection. It's only through love that you can cover the sin that's revealed through the connection. Because I guarantee you, when you start trying to connect to people and an endeavor to be one with people, you're going to see their weakness. It'll be revealed to you. And so unless you have love, you'll not be able to handle the revelation of their deficit. Because that's how God relates to you. God comes to you not to try to invade your space, but he comes to you to say to you, I've covered your sin. But Lord, you know what kind of man or woman I am. You know what's been in my heart. You know the acts I've done. You know the past that I have. The Lord said, no, I don't know that. He doesn't know that about you. His love has covered your sin. Well, what kind of God is this that he just overlooks our sin? I don't know, but this is the kind of God I like. Amen? Well, now I can just do anything I want to. No, you won't want to do anything you want to. When you get this love, it starts controlling you. Love controls you, not in the sense that it controls you the way man controls you, but love controls you because love so receives you that it frees you from the guilt. The reason why we become habitual, repetitive sinners is because of the condemnation of the guilt that we carry.
Come on, preach it. No more guilt.
We become habitually addicted to that defeat. But the only thing that brings you out of the defeat is someone willing to come and reach their hand down and lift you up and say, I accept you just where you're at.
Amen.
That's your only possibility of freedom. Is to have someone that loves you enough to trigger in you a relationship from you. God so invades us with love that it triggers in us the thing that he put inside of our spirit. It triggers for us to love him back. If I want to change your life, it's not about getting to know your life. It's about loving you through life. If I can love you the way the Father loved you, the way that Jesus loves you, then I don't have to know you the way other people know you. Because the people that know you that way, they're judging you one way or the other. I don't want to know you the way that I have to know you to judge you. I want to know you the way it is to love you. Amen? Wow. I don't want to know about your pina colada machine. You see, when you know about someone's pina colada machine, 20 years later, you bring it up again to them. Right? It's the human nature, isn't it? The human nature will always, oh, yeah. I mean, it's like when I was a little kid, not a little kid, I was actually older. Kid to me, I was like 20s or something. But, you know, when you get my age, a 20-year-old seems like a little kid. I'm just so excited about the Koreans coming because this lady that's coming is, there's two sisters among those that are coming. One is Hara and Hari, is that right? And Hari is, some of you heard the story. She came into the service on the first day. By the way, Grace, you're here this morning, right? Or did you leave? Grace, yeah. Yeah, hi. She was in Korea with me for one service. But Hari comes in and she sits down. There's five of them. And I said, hi, your name is Rebecca. And this was several hours before the service. And she looked at me and said, smiled. You know, she was just being polite. She said, are you crazy? My name's not Rebecca. It's Hari. I said, no, it's Rebecca. And she just smiled and was being nice to an old guy, you know, like he must be crazy a little bit. And I said, the reason I'm calling you that is because God has called you to be very creative and release kingdom music. And so it went on from there. And so I just started calling her Rebecca. And they worshiped with us for the first 3 days of the conference. And on the last night, her parents were there who were pastors from another city. And the sister, Hara, plays the piano. And Hari is the worship leader. And you'll see them in a couple of weeks. They're awesome. And I told her, I said, I want you to come to Austin. I'll help you get here. And then I felt bad because the sister's standing there. You know, I don't want her to feel like mincemeat and leave her out of the deal. But I didn't want to pay for the sister coming. So I said to the parents, if you want to pay for the sister to come, we'd be glad to receive both of them. Well, she is coming now and four others on top of that. So once you open the door, all the Koreans come flooding in. So Rebecca went back to her hometown after the first 3 days that they were with us. That was the only time she was with our conferences. And the next day after they were back, they were driving through a neighboring city. The cities really run together there. And they saw these signs called Rebecca. There was a musical in town called Rebecca. And all over the city, they had flags that Rebecca, Rebecca, Rebecca. So everywhere they drove, they saw the name Rebecca. And so now her name is Rebecca. Because that was such a confirmation to her. And this is how she addresses me when she emails me. And this really tickles me like you can't believe. She said, "My dearest Papa Bill, this is your sweetest Rebecca." Amen. That just makes me feel good all over. Amen. So if you want to get really close to me, call me dearest Papa Bill and use sweetest before your last name. But I was saying that to say something else. And who knows what that would be by this time. It's in relating to people, you love them just where they are. You create them by love. You build them by love. That's what the proclamation, to see, the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. And when Christ comes, he begins to speak to us, to comfort us, strengthen us, establish us. Sometimes he has to correct us a little bit. That's okay. We'll accept the correction, right? Because when he corrects us, we know that he has one motivation in mind. To connect us, to keep us connected to who he is. Because it's in that connection that I'm established and I become what God said I am. So it becomes a point in your life that sometime you have to become immersed in one another. It's called the spirit, by say, the spirit of immersion. Because God is looking for oneness means that he's looking that we be immersed, first of all, into him. It's literally learning that we're actually going into God. Through this door that's been opened to us, we're actually immersing ourselves in the Lord. That's what happens in worship, isn't it? It should happen in worship. Let's just practice this a moment. I call it this practicing the presence of the Lord. It's really immersing yourself in God's presence. So hold your hands out. Unless you're just a stubborn Baptist this morning and you don't want to do this, hold your hands out. Lean your head back. Close your eyes. And just begin to immerse yourself in the Lord. Wow. Wow. Get up here, Darren. See, it's focusing on who he is. Immersing yourself in God. I was in Korea, and that first 3 days were so special. The second night, I'm in the little room, green room, waiting to go down to minister. And Jesus came to me in such a profound way. Well, maybe I could say it this way. Maybe I came to Jesus because he's always there. Amen. I don't think he came to me. I just came aware of him. When I did that, I said to him, I was weeping. I said, "Lord, I've missed you. I've just missed you." See, God wants us to disappear, to be enveloped with him. So that we're just immersed into his presence. In John 17, verse 21 says, May all be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. There was this. What he's saying is that I'm in the Father. I'm so in him. And the Father is so in me. And Lord, let them be in us just like that. So that the world may see who they are. That they're one with us. Didn't the Lord say, "I'm always with you"? Amen. Lo, I'm always with you. And it was amazing, the disciples, it was only until he breathed into them the Spirit that they became acutely aware of who they were. Because it was only that Spirit life that connected them to the God of Spirit. Everybody say, God is a spirit. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because when the Spirit of God comes to you, you receive a relationship. How many want a closer relationship to God this morning? Be honest, raise your hand if you want a closer relationship. How do you get closer? It's always closer, isn't it? You can always get closer. You get closer by receiving His Spirit. Receiving the Spirit into you. And that the nature of God is revealed to you who He really is. He said, the glory that You gave Me, I've given them that they may be one just as We are one. I and them, You and Me, that they may be perfect in one. And that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. Wouldn't it be great to go into the world and talk to people, relate to people, and they would come away with an impression from you? Hey, that person triggered something in me. That person put something in my spirit. Maybe they don't know how to articulate that, but they just go away with a knowing that somehow they got closer to God because they were close to You. You don't have to go to the world and say, well, this is the way, walk you in it, repent, you sinners, and die, and you're going to go to hell. You don't. That's not how you win them. At least, I don't think so. I never did do very good with that. I like what he said in Thessalonians, but God did not appoint us to wrath. God did not appoint you to wrath. Why are you taking the appointment of wrath when God didn't appoint you to that? God didn't appoint you to be the judge of the world. He didn't appoint you to be those that would evaluate the other people around you through the lens of the flesh. But He appointed you to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wow. When Jesus came to the earth, He didn't lose the relationship He had with the Father. It only grew to be something greater than was. See, the love creates the oneness. We're saying, let's be one together. Let's be a people that walk together. Let's be the family of God. Isn't that great to have those goals? Let's be this. Let's become the family of God upon the earth. But how do we do it? By love. We do it because we love each other the way that Christ loved us. Amen? Ooh, will you let me love you more? So I told you my friend Gary Marilyn Hargraves, who she just meant to be in the glory realm, I'd always close out conversation with them, and they would close it out with us. They'd say, Bill and Sue, we love you like crazy. And I'd say, I love you like crazy. I'm feeling that from the Lord this morning. He's saying to us, He loves us like crazy. He's madly, passionately in love with you. So much for so that He would die for you. How much love there is, no greater love than there is that a man would lay down his life for his friend. That's how much He loves you. All you parents that are here, you know well as I do, you'd lay your life down for your children. It's that much God loves you, He laid His life down for you. And He wants to create this family on earth that's such a perfect representation of who He is, of His Spirit being revealed to the world. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, the Spirit that breaks every barrier down between God's people. It's because we're perfected in unity It's when we love one another, it says in John also, the world will believe because of the love that we have.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I love this stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody say, you can't lose with the stuff I use. Money back guarantee. Thank you, Father. Let's spend just a moment this morning. By the way, if you need prayer today, you want someone to lay hands on you, and we'd be glad to do that this morning. If you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never really believed in Him, trusted Him, today you can.
Yes.
Simply a matter of turning your heart, saying, Lord, I receive You into my life to be my Savior. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Come into my heart. That's all it takes. A simple stand of faith, simple turning of your heart to God to receive your salvation from Him. That's all it takes for your healing, for whatever you need in Christ. But if you need extra prayer this morning, someone to stand with you, we'll have others that will be praying for you up here this morning. You're welcome to come. Amen. Man, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving week. And just thank Him extra special this week for the love that He gives you and the relationship that you have with Him and with one another. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up together. Amen. God is good. Lift your hands to the Lord. There, let's just begin to sing in the Spirit. Everyone, just begin to lift your voice up. This morning, go into your holy chamber with God.